Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Christians will be spared the final 7 years of earthly upheaval because they will be enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. After that joyous event, they will return with Jesus, who will make a swift end of the Antichrist and his earthly kingdom. Jesus will then set up his own earthly dominion that will thrive for 1,000 years. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 19 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his final message in his Advent series entitled, Beholding the Glory of God.
Jesus talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb for those who belong to him. That's where we're headed, beloved. That's the supper we're going to be at. We're going to be the bride at that dinner. And notice it says in verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. It's not going to be a long battle. Zechariah 14:5 describes the army of the Lord as all the saints. And notice, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. When the Lord Jesus roars from heaven, he's going to destroy the beast, the kingdom of the Antichrist, the kings of the earth and their armies. Zechariah 14:3 and 12 tell us this. Zechariah 14 tells us that when Jesus comes, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. He's going to set his foot on the Mount of Olives. If you've ever been to Israel on the tour, you go up to the Mount of Olives. It just gets your heart pumping. You know, you're standing there and you're looking up, going, and it's almost, not almost like, here's the picture that I get. Jesus is the bridegroom. We're the bride. Now, anyone who loves their bride isn't going to let anybody touch them. I don't care if they're the heavyweight champion of the world. I may get knocked out, but that dude is going to get something. No, don't touch my wife. Here's the picture I get. We're the armies in heaven. We've been waiting for so long to get our hands on this snake. And he says, honey, you stay here. And then he goes, roar! Wipes out the kingdom of darkness. And we're going to watch it. We're going to watch it. Probably going to go, go get him. But this is really going to happen. And notice, we read in the book of Revelation chapter 20 that we're going to look at in a minute. The beast and the false prophet are still in this place called hell 1,000 years later. There are people who teach erroneously that hell is not going to be eternal. It's only going to be for a period of time, after which point of time you're just going to be annihilated. No, hell and punishment is just as eternal as bliss and love, being with the King in heaven is eternal. It is everlasting and everlasting. And today, if you're here and you do not know where you stand with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day where the Lord would be summoning you to come to him and receive that gift of eternal life. The lake of fire, the place of eternal punishment for all unrepentant rebels, angelic or human. And then, you know that there's no chapter divisions. When John wrote the Revelation, he'd say chapter 19 and then, well, and then chapter 20. It just flows. And in chapter 20, we read about an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now, have you ever heard the theology or the expression, well, that the idea that Satan and Jesus Christ are opposites? They're not opposites. Satan was once a cherub, a created being, an angel who fell. If there's an opposite, to Satan, it would be another created being. Maybe Gabriel, maybe Michael. Evidently, Michael and Gabriel have bigger fish to fry. The Lord is coming back. He's wiped everyone out. And he says to one of his angels, hey, Pete, go bind that devil and put him in a pit. Lock him up and throw away the key for 1,000 years. And notice it says in verse 1, having the key of the bottomless pit, the angels that fell at the beginning of creation have been, many of them have been in that pit and will remain in that pit. So this other angel, just a regular angel, a good angel, of which two-thirds are on our side, by the way. You know, remember that, right? Two-thirds are on our side. He binds Satan for 1,000 years. 1,000 years, millennium is from the Latin mille, meaning thousand, and annus, meaning year. 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him. Now, this word seal is interesting. Set a seal upon him. Because he's sealed in the pit, he cannot get out. Right? The Bible says that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, God seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means no demon can get in you. He can mess with your head, but he can never get in you. We're sealed until the day of redemption. Now, after the 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loosed. There's going to be the final overthrow of everything. Then there's going to be the new heaven and the new earth, and those that we are going to be participants of. Boy, oh boy. Whew. That just gets my heart pumping. What that is going to look like. Well, notice what John says. He goes on in verse 4. I saw thrones. They sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Many of our brothers and sisters have been beheaded over the centuries because of their faith in Christ. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Hey, that's you and me. Does that thrill you at all? Anybody? A wee bit? What's the determining factor of what degree we will be serving with him as a king and a priest? Well, here's what happens. Jesus gives to every believer time, talents, money, gifts, and for all of those, we are called what? Stewards. And to the extent that we steward what God gives to us will be the extent or the degree to which we will be serving with the king for 1,000 years. Remember the 10 talents, the 5 talents? He says, go occupy. So whatever God has given to you, beloved, use that gift, use that time, use that talent for the glory of God. So when you stand before him, like Jesus said, he will reward us according to our works. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is a gift, but there are rewards for serving the king. We need to be about our Father's business. Now, this 1,000-year reign, the church is really has different views on whether or not it is a literal 1,000-year reign. I personally believe it's a literal 1,000-year reign. John MacArthur, in one of his books, said, using the same literal, historical, grammatical principles of interpretation so as to determine the normal sense of language, one is left with the inescapable conclusion that Christ will return and reign in a real kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And I tend to believe that, and I believe that, but I'm not going to argue with brothers or sisters who have a different view. It's like in the New Testament, you see all of the things in the book of Revelation that are talked about, the locust coming out of the pit and all of these things, and the allegorical believers say, well, that's allegorical. That doesn't mean that. And I say, well, was the flood allegorical? Was Sodom and Gomorrah allegorical? No. Were the 10 plagues allegorical? No, those things happened. They really happened. I believe everything that is written in the book of Revelation is really going to happen. And Christ is going to come back and set up a kingdom. What's it going to look like? Well, here's what people ask me. Now, Pastor Ray, I'm with you so far, but what does this have to do with Christmas? Isn't this supposed to be a Christmas series? I'll show you what it has to do with Christmas. In Luke chapter 1, the Christmas story is tied with the millennium. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth the Son and shall call his name," actually, Yeshua, Jehovah brings salvation. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Where is Jesus ruling and reigning right now? From the right hand of his Father. When he comes to earth, he's going to be sitting on his Father's throne, ruling and reigning over the world. What's it going to be like during this thousand-year reign? Well, Psalm 72, verse 19, here's the conversation that is going to be going on. We're going to be walking around, and we're going to be saying to one another, "And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." Can you imagine walking, you know, "Hey, how are you? How are you, Ava? Hey, blessed be his glorious name forever and ever." Try doing that now. "And the whole earth is going to be filled with his glory." The whole earth. No exceptions. Amen and amen. Isaiah 2 says, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come, ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." There's a temple that is described, the millennial temple, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 2, verse 47. And it has dimensions that are unlike any other temple. Christ, when he returns, he's going to be teaching Bible studies. And I can guarantee you, every pastor, or at least me, I'm going to be staying way back. I hope he's not going to cover a section that I taught. Because when every nation is going to be flowing into it. And notice, no more war. No more war. No more rumors of war. Peace on earth. Can you imagine? We won't need security systems. If you have cell phones during the millennium, you won't need a privacy block. Nobody's going to want to hack you. Can you imagine? You can walk down Main Street in any country, and you can just walk freely and not be afraid of being attacked. We can't even dream of anything like that, but it is going to happen. The Lord said it. What else do we know about the millennial kingdom? Isaiah 11 says, "And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb." Don't you love that? "And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Bears eat cows now. There's going to be a time when a wolf is going to be, instead of eating a lamb, playing with a lamb. Do you ever dream about this period of time? Any of you? Ever think about it? I mean, I think about this. Maybe it's the musician in me. We're like dreamers. I'm thinking one day in the millennium, I'm going to walk out of my house and I'm going to get it on the back of a cheetah and say, let's just see how fast you can go. Pew. Right? Get on the back of a humpback whale. So let's go for a little swim. Right? Can you imagine? It's going to be glorious. Everybody will be your friend. Can imagine millennium television, the weather, the news, the music. Imagine everything on earth, the glory of God, the knowledge of God, the whole earth. Then Satan has one little last bit of rebellion. He gets destroyed. And then the new heaven and new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Whew. I know I'm not supposed to get him, but I'm getting hot flashes right now. Just thinking about it. That's reality. Here's the thing. That is what is headed. You know, the Bible talks about weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Christ is coming. Joy is on the way. Hope is on the way. Help is on the way. Redemption is on the way. It is with us now, but it's on the way in its fullness. And that's the message that this planet needs to hear. So gripped with fears and phobias, the King is coming. And you can either be a member of the marriage supper or dinner. But you know why you're here this morning? Because God is sovereign over every single part of our lives. And if you're here this morning and do not know Jesus Christ, He's not willing that you perish, but that you come to repentance. So I tried to think, what would Peter, the apostle, say to you and I in light of the teaching of the second coming? Well, he would tell us, among other things, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, these words, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. He wants us to be clear-minded. So you know what that means? We have to be very careful about what we put in. You feed on junk, junk's going to be consuming you. You feed fear, fear is going to consume you. What we need to feed our minds with is God's word, God's thoughts, and then be prayerful. And then he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In other words, God wants us to be walking in that agape towards one another, that is fervent, that is white hot. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you love for one another. Throw away all of the denominational tags. We're either followers of Jesus Christ or we're not. And we are to love one another. We are to be men and women of prayer. We are to be sober. Jesus said, I talked about stewardship in Mark 13, verses 33 through 37. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes. Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm leaving. I'm going to give you gifts, but I'm coming again. When? Give us a day. Give us the hour. You're not going to know. You know not when I'm coming. I might come at evening. I might come at midnight. I may come at sunrise. I may come in the morning. But when I come, I don't want to find you sleeping. I want to find you awake. And so what I say to you, I say unto all, watch, be alert, be mindful. So when you and I see the things that are happening around the world, Let the Bible be how you interpret your response. Okay? Let the Bible be how you interpret your response. The Lord is coming. The King is coming. That is great news. You're scaring me this morning. You're really scaring me. He's coming. He is coming. To me, and I know for you, I know that we're ready, right? We're ready. We're more than ready. We've had enough of this, and we've had enough of this, but the King is coming. But the Lord has a heart for the lost that we need to have a heart for. And I believe that with all of the craziness that is going on in this world, you and I have an opportunity to make a difference for Jesus Christ like never before in the history of man, at least in my lifetime. What would the Lord say to any of you who are here this morning and you don't know him? What would the Lord say to you? Well, Jesus, when he came to earth, he set people free, didn't he? He opened the eyes of the blind. He opened up the ears of the deaf. He raised the dead. He set people free from their addictions and their afflictions. And he still does the same today. But you know what else he did? There were people that were following him because the organized religious systems were lying to them, not giving them hope, binding them with rules and regulations. And they never heard anyone speak like Jesus spoke. And Jesus said to a multitude one time these words, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." That's what Jesus will give you. If you truly repent of your sin and trust him, he will give you rest. Saints, there is no rest in this world outside of Jesus Christ. There is no peace in this world outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope in this world outside of Jesus Christ. There is no life in this world outside of Jesus Christ. And some of you are here and you've been wrestling with the gospel that's been preached to you, and today you've heard it again. Christ is coming again. And when he returns, you will either be a believer or a non-believer. But if you're weary, if you're tired with your sin, the weight of your sin, or the things of this world, he says, "You come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When two animals are yoked together, it's the stronger, mature one that takes the weight or the responsibility of pushing that yoke. Jesus says, "You come to me, and I will guide you through your life. I'll carry that weight. I'll carry that burden." He says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, there will be men up front to pray with you. Ladies, we would love to pray with you. Today is the day of salvation. This could be the greatest Christmas gift you ever got. Actually, for a believer, every time we gather together, it's Christmas. Right? Everybody's using their gift. It's Christmas. So we'll have another Christmas service next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after, celebrating the goodness of our King. Jesus is coming again. That's great news. That's great news. He's coming again. Tell somebody when you go out for brunch today. Tell someone when you're going through the cashier, you know, you've got that last minute Christmas shopping. Just tell them, Jesus is coming again. The world is looking for hope. And there's only hope in Jesus.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can also subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our regular services. Nursery and youth activities will be available. Please check our website for last-minute changes or cancellations due to weather or other causes. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester, New York. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.